We're turning, please, in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. May God be pleased to help us and bless his word to our hearts tonight. We'll just pray now. Our Father, we are very thankful, Lord, for the great joy and blessing of being able to be in your presence and to sing, to praise, to give thanks. Now, as the word is opened, we ask one more time that our hearts would be open to receive the word. The Holy Spirit will reveal some more thing, one more thing of the beauty of Christ to our hearts, that, Lord, we'd be drawn out after thee. Please forgive us for our sin. Forgive me, I pray. Cleanse my heart from everything that would defile. For, Lord, I do not want to have anything hindering the word going out to your people tonight. Bless us now this evening. Encourage us, strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' worthy name we ask. Amen. There was so much teaching that went on in the final days and hours of our Savior's time with his disciples. And John 15 is, well, some of the most profound teaching. The words are sensitive, special, important, and our prayer tonight would be the Lord would teach us something from this portion of Scripture, that we would learn what it means to, well, to be productive, fruit-bearing believers, spiritual people bearing fruit for the Lord's honor. This chapter contains a very well-known parable of the vine and the branches. Some of the branches bore fruit, and some of them were barren. It starts with one of the great I ams of our Lord and Savior, where he likens himself to a vine, and his people to the branches, and his Father to the great farmer, the great husbandman. It's very difficult for us to imagine a closer connection than a branch to a vine, because the branch owes its very life to its connection to the vine. Without it, well, the branch is dead. The branch, of course, draws its water, the sap, the nutrients from the vine in order to produce buds and leaves and blossoms, and then fruit at the end of that. The grand teaching of this portion is this: that there is a living union between our Lord Jesus and you and I as his people, his children. In ourselves, we have no strength. In ourselves, we are spiritually powerless. We have no life. But in Christ, we are living branches. We are spiritually alive. And we are full of opportunity of bearing fruit for our Master. But if for a moment you were to consider what would happen to us if we were cut off from the vine? What would happen to us if we were taken away? I'm sure you've all done some kind of trimming or pruning in your life. And if you have cut off a branch of a tree where it's been full of leaves, and I have done this myself, amazed to see within a matter of minutes, you will be able to see the telltale signs of the leaves beginning to shrivel. Within a half an hour of that branch being cut off, that was at one time full of life and vigor, the leaves have shriveled considerably. You see, because we have no possibility of being outside of that very branch that we have, outside the vine. Being in Christ Himself, we draw a continual supply of grace and help and ability. How then does a person know if they are in union with the Savior? Well, this question is of utmost importance, because tonight, if you're here and you are not certain if you are a true believer, well, then you'd want to ask that question. How do I know? Am I in Christ or am I not in Him? Because if you're not in the Lord tonight, the outcome is serious. If we're not in the Savior tonight, then my dear friends, the Lord says that we will be taken away and we will be burned. And so the idea, the quality of bearing fruit for the Lord, why, it's one that gives evidence that truly we are in Christ. It's the proof that we are in union with Him if we are bearing fruit. Because false professors, they may look something like the real thing, but there is no fruit unto righteousness. Being born into a Christian family or having some kind of association with a church, membership or otherwise, even being baptized, these things do not bring you into union with Jesus. They do not make us saved. But a person is baptized when they have come to the knowledge of Christ, and it's part of what happens in obedience after that. And so, friend, I challenge all of our hearts tonight that we would examine our lives, that we would draw from this very precious teaching of our Lord Jesus and say, are we asking ourselves the question, are we bearing fruit for our Lord tonight? I want to show you in the first place that this is, for the Christian, our primary purpose. It is our primary purpose. For the Lord tells us, every branch that beareth fruit. It can be easily shown that we were created with this ultimate purpose, to both glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We have been saved so that we might have a living relationship with the Savior, that we might know and glorify Him in our life. We will bear what is called spiritual fruit for Him. We're told in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has chosen us in Christ from before the world began. He has led us by His Spirit to receive the Lord. We have been born again by the Spirit of God with the intention that you and I will glorify God. And how will we glorify Him? That we bear fruit unto God and unto Christ. You know the parable of the coins that the Lord Jesus used? He gave out, the husbandman or the farmer gave out coins to his servants, And he came back years later expecting to see, well, some increase from his investment. It was a natural thing, actually, as the Lord was sharing, that the businessman would be rewarded by both the honesty and the diligence of the workers. And what did he do? He did just that. He blessed them. He encouraged them. He rewarded them for their vigilance and for their honesty and their hard work. But he also brought some very strong words to those who were indolent and neglectful and who had ignored the commandment they were given. The natural outcome that declares whether you are truly a child of God is going to be, do we bear fruit? The natural fruit that we are to bear is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that will immediately bring a link to what we have been discussing and talking about in our evening services. What does it mean to be a fruit-bearing Christian? It means to have the elements of the fruit of the Spirit blossoming in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness and goodness and faith, and the meekness and temperance. And all of these things, they go together to be a description of the holiness unto God that we are to live. Romans 6 and verse 22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." And so our fruit unto God is a fruit that is described as being holiness to Him. Brothers and sisters, is that the fruit that we are bearing to the Lord? In 1 Peter 1 and 15, Peter admonished the followers that he was preaching to and writing to, "Be ye holy." He quoted the Lord, for God said, "I am holy." The Lord wants us to mirror His attributes. He wants us to reflect His beauty and holiness. He wants His children to become just a mirror image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we will have a willingness for the will of God. Is desiring the will of God natural to us? Of course it's not. It's not natural for us being born into this world as sinful people. But once we are saved by the grace of God and brought into a living relationship with Jesus, the fruit that we will bear is a fruit that is a willingness within our heart. We want to glorify God. We want to have a life that's surrendered to Him. We want to be malleable in the hands of God so that He will form us into the vessels that He wants us to be. We're not kicking and fighting against Him. That's not what the branch does. It's not what the spiritual person does. But we are called to serve the living God in this way. It will be in obedience to His command to take the principles and precepts and the practices of the Scripture that we learn and are taught from our youngest years, and yet to put them into active obedience unto the Lord. Yes, there's a willingness to serve Him, but there's also a desire to follow after His commandments and to walk with God with humility of mind and heart. What doth the Lord require of thee? That's been the very focus of our motto text this year. What does God require of us but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God? That is fruit bearing unto our Savior. When you look out in the yard and you see an apple tree that has apples growing on that, that's no strange thing to see. But if you went out to an apple tree and you saw pears growing on it, that would be a strange thing. You would have to conclude something is different here. This is a mutant tree. This is abnormal. But their fruit, and by their fruit you shall know them. The Lord tells us that the fruit that you and I bear in our life, the fruit that we see that comes from the life, the tree of life from within every person, it will indicate what type of tree it is. See, the fruit does not make the tree, The fruit only announces what kind of tree it is. Oh, my friend, if we call ourselves the followers of Christ, and our lives should not produce strange fruit unto God. Our lives should not be producing the strange fruit of worldliness. The Lord says, whosoever is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. And whatever and however you and I define what worldliness is, we know this, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit that the Lord Jesus is looking for in our life. And so our actions will reveal our thinking, and our thinking will show our hearts. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is that man. We know that willfulness and the stubbornness and pride that so often comes up in our life, when we see those shoots coming out from our life, well, we would do well to pray the Lord chop them off right away. Lord, be in our life with the shears and the trimming, the pruning things. Take them off immediately. Don't let them grow out at all. There's a sad wildness that's still part of all of our lives. That wildness is part of the old nature that you and I still have and will continue to have till the day we die. And that wildness, that old nature, well, it's summarized somewhat in this way in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 2, where the Lord said that He fenced a garden and He gathered out the stones thereof and He planted it with choicest of vine. And He built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And He looked that it should bring forth grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. Now that little picture and story that the Lord shares with us in Isaiah is so much applicable to us today. The Lord has planted us in Christ. He has put us into the very best soil, the best opportunity that you and I have to bear fruit for our Master. When He comes to our lives with examination, what does He find? Sometimes wild fruit growing out from us, the world. Oh, that's not a good thing. May that be taken away from our lives very quickly. But friends, we can also say that it is a very blessed privilege that God gives to us that we will be enabled to bear fruit for Him. It is a mercy from God that He allows us to give anything to Him at all, seeing that He doesn't need anything from us. He is not bettered. God is not provided for us or by us. It says in Psalm 50, if I was hungry, I would not tell thee. Kind of like a tongue-in-cheek sort of a phrase that the Lord uses. The Lord does not need us. And so therefore, it is a tremendous blessing that He would receive from our hands anything that would come to Him. Especially when we're told in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 that we are called laborers together with God. And because of that, when we understand that God is the one who plants, God is the one who gives the increase, and you and I, as we bear fruit to the Lord, He receives that fruit graciously from us. Oh, my dear friends, as we read in Isaiah 37 and verse 31 tonight, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, God says this, they shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. Another beautiful picture of the vine and the branches. And the Bible is full of these illustrations and pictures for us. And our Savior has taken one that is so precious. It's so alive with its imagery. Are we in Jesus tonight, friend? Are you bearing fruit for the Master? You know the idea in the picture of the branch and the vine, it speaks to us of a total dependence upon the Lord. Without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. Have we learned that lesson of our total dependence on Christ? If we did learn it before, it's a good thing, and we thank the Lord for every lesson He teaches us, but I'm afraid that we must be reminded often of it and come back again to realize that all that we have received from God has been by His grace. We have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. The Holy Spirit has drawn us by His power to the Savior. He has granted us the gift of repentance. He's opened our eyes to see spiritual light, where before we were in darkness. He has given us faith to believe. And He enables us, my dear friend, to bring and bear fruit for His glory. This is a great grace from our loving God. Will you think with me, please, secondly, about the pruning that God does? It tells us that He will purge it. Verse 2, He purges the branch. This is absolutely necessary. Every careful gardener will prune a fruit-bearing branch, and the purpose is that it will yield greater harvest for the Lord. And we wonder sometimes why God has allowed a trial, an upset to come in our life. And at the time we're going through it, you know what I'm talking about, and I've experienced it. As we're going through that trial, we can shake our heads. We don't get it. We don't understand. We're wondering, Lord, is there some sin in my life You're trying to reveal? Is there some wickedness? Sometimes there may well be a sin that the Lord puts His finger on, but very often it's times, friend, where the Lord's coming to purge our lives, and He uses the trial to be a thing that will yet make us bear more fruit for Him. Yes, the Lord comes to us because He wants to advance our spirituality. He wants to advance our conformity to Jesus. And He purifies and sanctifies us by the circumstances of life. Isaiah 1:25 says, "And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin." And another similar illustration in Malachi 3:3 says, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. They may offer unto God an offering in righteousness." I was struck by these words last Thursday night in our session and board meeting. I read this portion of Malachi before we commenced our board meeting. We always begin with the Bible reading. We begin with prayer. We commit our times to the Lord. And the purpose behind it is that we will seek for the mind and wisdom of God. That we will take the responsibilities seriously that He has placed upon us. We do not take it at all lightly. And I would thank you for your prayers for our elders and deacons. And as we commit our meetings to God, we say, Lord, we need Your mind. We need Your help. And this portion struck out in my mind as God purifies the sons of Levi. What is that? The sons of Levi were those involved in the priesthood. They had the responsibilities of ministry. They had the oversight of other people within the nation. And God calls us as His servants. He calls us to be pure and to be holy, and the Lord will come to purge and purify us. My friend, these two verses, Isaiah 1:25, Malachi 3:3, they're two verses that speak about a furnace. And the furnace is heated up, and there's a refiner's fire in order to draw away the dross, to draw away the impurities that are within us. And as the heat of trial and affliction comes, oh, that's exactly what happens. Our lives are heated, and those things of the world, those other things we depend on, they're taken away, they're burned off. It's God's purpose in our lives It's what he is intending to do. And the point is that his people needed to be purified as the sons of Levi. We need, as servants of the Lord, to be purified. And I pray that for my own heart. I pray that along with our elders and deacons. And that's why we are having and dedicating more specific times for praying. Every month, the last Lord's Day of the month, that time, special season of prayer on the Lord's Day afternoon for our session and board, it is praying that God will show us His purpose and mind for the future of the ministry here. We're praying for the pulpit. We're praying for the outreach of the congregation. We're praying much for our school ministry, that God will pour out His blessing, because we want to be fruitful in all of these areas. But we cannot do this by ourselves. We need to have God's purification happening and working in us, because ultimately we know it's for His honor. But my dear friends, to pray these things, and when you begin to pray this in your own Christian life, you can be ready and prepare yourself, for God will be at work. And what might appear hurtful to begin with, the Lord never intends to hurt us as He puts us through these trials. He loves us, my dear friends, too much to ever hurt us or to inflict pain. And what we interpret as hard times or hurtful things, and I'm not denying that these trials in our human interpretation of them would be very difficult, but God purposes that through them, and He will bring you, my brother and sister, through them in order that we will glorify His name, in order that we will bring honor to Him. When the great husbandman, the great farmer, our God, our overseer, when He takes out those pruning shears to begin to prune the tree, when He sees a branch going in the wrong direction, He sees a bad habit developing too much strength, yes, He comes to take that away. And how will He do it? He may do it by some other brother or sister coming along and pointing out an area, a blind spot in our life. Friend, don't be offended when somebody does this in your life. When someone comes and says to us, maybe you have not considered this. Have you thought about this? Have you realized that you're doing this? And when this occurs, let us receive it well. Oh, sometimes we bristle against it. Who do you think you are, telling me what to do? Oh, that's the reaction that we come up with by the flesh. But faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible tells us. And David said, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, and I might learn thy statutes. And when a friend, when a brother or sister comes alongside, do not discount the fact that they may be God's messengers. They may be God's shearers coming along. Let us therefore not resist but receive. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, we're told that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Remember, when we were doing our study in Hebrews a couple of years ago, why, this verse stands out in my own mind as we came to chapter 12, and the Lord pressed it upon my heart again. It's not a pleasant thing to go through times of chastening by the hand of our God. My friends, it is absolutely necessary in every Christian's life. There is no one that is going to escape this, because the reason behind it is that God's making us more like His Son. And if we go through these times of hardness and trial, it's the Savior who's standing close by. He is holding our hand through the fire and the trial and the waters, though they are deep. And He wants us, and He will bring us out on the other side. And we will be by his grace better for it. Let us therefore realize, yes, the trial may be difficult, but you know this verse of Scripture well. The trial of your faith works patience. The trial of our faith, it works patience. By this trial, he weans us. He takes us away from the world. He draws us nearer to the Savior. He drives us to the Word of God, to prayer. He shows us our hearts. And that's sometimes the ugliest thing. When God, through these difficult things, just opens the curtain of who and what we are on the inside, it's not pretty. And we can sometimes deceive ourselves to think, oh, we're not too bad. We're going on all right. We're not too bad people. Until the Lord just says, wait a minute, let me show you something. And that is God's way of bringing us down from the lofty heights of who we think we are, and we're brought down to ground zero again. And the Lord does it because he does not want us to injure ourselves further by thinking that we're something we're not, by taking pride away from us so that we will glorify the Lord Jesus in our lives. The Old Testament is full of this. The Bible is full of these examples. Think about Moses on the backside of the desert. Do you know how long he spent there? 40 years on the backside of the desert. In the desert. 40 years. What was God doing? It was his theological training time. Now, sometimes people complain about 4 years of theological training, or even a bit more of all these things, but God was teaching his servant. And there were many trials that he had to go through. And what about the Apostle Paul? We often quote this when we think about the thorn in the flesh and how he had to pray for God's grace and sustaining grace. And you know where you and I will wrestle with many times? When we have a plague, a trial, a difficulty, something that's bothering us, and yet we have not yet been able to absorb the grace of God and learn that that's enough for us. And he will carry us through by that. Listen to these words of Mr. Ryle again. Let us learn to be patient in the days of darkness. If we know anything of vital union with Christ, let us remember the doctrine of the passage before us and not murmur or complain because of trials. Our trials are not meant to do us harm, but good. God chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Fruit is the thing that our Master desires to see in us, and he will not spare the pruning knife if he sees we need it. In the last day, we shall see that all was done well. So, my dear brothers and sisters, look by faith to the last day. Look to the finished product. Look to what the Lord's doing in our lives. And have faith. And be not discouraged. And don't be cast down. But rather to draw that he is creating in us a vessel of honor, meet for his use. And he wants us to be fruit-bearing believers. Well, as we look thirdly in this portion tonight, there is a plentiful outcome that is promised. He does this purging that it may bring forth much fruit. More fruit, much fruit, abounding fruit. Because greater bounty will bring greater glory to the Lord. If we abide in Christ, then we cannot but bear fruit. It's going to be the natural outgrow of it. And yet verse 8 teaches us that with the increase in bounty, there will be an increase in glory brought to the Father. My dear friends, with this knowledge, what would we ask the Lord for? We would say, well, if a little fruit will bring little glory to the Lord, then what would we ask in our lives? That we will produce and bring forth much fruit, so that much glory would be to our Father in heaven. And that's our hope. That's our desire. So we would pray, Lord, purge away the things in our lives which are going to hinder our growth. Here is an astounding condescension again, that God would allow us to have any part in glorifying Him. How could we, by our feeble attempts of service or of fruit bearing, how could we do anything to add to His glory? And yet this is exactly what the Scripture tells us. Oh, my dear friends, the Lord promises in all this that there will be for His people an enduring reward. Look at verse 16 of the chapter. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, He will give it you, that your fruit would remain." And so He's telling us there is an endurance to this. There is something that's going to go beyond life into eternity. And doesn't the Lord tell us in Matthew that we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal? Because it's lasting fruit that we are bearing for the Lord. What's the conclusion of all this? Well, the conclusion is that if we are in the Savior, if we are in Christ, then we will bear fruit for Him. It's God's desire, Christian, that we will bear much fruit, and that purging is God's way of making us more productive for Him. I close tonight with a word of warning. If you are an unbeliever, not a Christian tonight, then you are not in the vine. And if you are not in the vine, then there's coming a day when God says, every branch that is not in me will be bound up and will be cast into the fire. And that picture is a solemn one, a serious one, because it means being cast into a lost eternity. But if, my friend, tonight you see and sense that need, the Spirit of God is drawing you, then call out to Him right where you are and say, "Lord, save me, I pray. Lord, come into my life and my heart. I repent of my sin. I want to know Christ as my Savior." And as you pray that prayer, He will respond. He will come into your life. He will save your soul. He will make you then a fruit-bearing branch connected in Him. We're going to close our service tonight by singing hymn number 341. Actually, 342. 342. "When this passing world is done, when is sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking over life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much that I owe." Let's stand to sing. Thank you. Let's watch the words, please, of verse 4 as the instruments play, and then we will sing the final verse. Loving Father, take these precious words that we have read in your truth tonight, impress them on our hearts. Teach us to receive them joyfully with all our hearts. Lord, bless them to us. Make us fruit-bearing Christians, we ask. Take us now, Father, home safely. Make this incoming week a one filled with joy and of great advancement spiritually. Defeat the devil, keep us from falling to his temptations. And Lord, walk with us, Lord, that we might walk with you. Part us now in thy fear, with thy rich blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.